morning, everybody, and welcome back to Making It Local. I finally have a title for this thing. It's wonderful to have you back for episode 2. And with us today is Miss Dolly Durley, photographer extraordinaire. Would you like to give us a little introduction on who you are in this great big world?
Oh, I sure will. Hi, everybody. I am Dolly Durley, and I am a photographer based out of Minneapolis, but I travel all over the place. Mm-hmm. I specialize in elopements and intimate weddings, so no more than 50 people. I used to do that. I used to do really large scale weddings, but it's not my jam these days, and I'm sure we will go into that maybe a little bit in the interview. But that has primarily been my main gig. And now I have also added on web design. So I also have a UX degree and thought I would put it to use. And, you know, life is long and we are multifaceted people. And it's just another creative outlet for me. So I'm photographer and web designer.
And the funny thing about Dolly and I is that our relationship goes back quite a ways, actually. Was it 2012 that we met?
You know, this is the 10-year anniversary. Yes.
10-year anniversary. Well, what a better way to mark that anniversary than a little interview about who you are and kind of what you bring to the Minneapolis scene here in this area. A little context. How did we meet? Do you remember?
Well,
No. This is not a trick question. This is sort of a general vibe of how we met, because I think we sort of slowly met over there. There's no like one circumstance. We met at a very specific place, though. Where did we meet?
We met at Starbucks. Wait, did I answer that right?
And what were you doing at the time?
I was in grad school and I was getting my MBA, and I would park my ass at this specific Starbucks because it would open at 5. I'd get there right as it opened, and many days I would stay till it closed, and I would just hole up and work on my master thesis and all my research and writing. And so KJ often was the one who would fuel my caffeine needs. Thank God for you, baby.
Especially right away in the morning, because I was primary opener.
Oh God. Yeah. I don't think I would have been able to make it. But then eventually, so that's how we met. If there's another specific part of that, I'm so sorry if I forgot that. But that's how we met.
That is how we met.
Yes. And then, long story short, because life is crazy, I ended up working at that same Starbucks. And then that's how we solidified the friendship, I feel, because we were in the cafe coffee trenches together.
We both sort of, I moved to the East Coast for a year. I moved out to DC. And then when I came back, we sort of linked back up again. And we were both kind of going through different but similar situations with leaving an ex-partner that was less than satisfactory. To put it mildly.
We're in the diva divorcee club.
Oh, good Lord. And we definitely bonded over that real hard during that time. I moved back to La Crosse a couple of times before I relocated to Minneapolis. And you were, again, you were working at the Root Note, this really cool, like, kind of fusion coffee shop, like, music venue that is in downtown La Crosse. That's still like up and running and kicking. The last time I was there, I know they were remodeling.
They're going to have a reopening in April. I think April soonish. And then Charlie Parr is actually going to play a really huge show there. April 15th, I'm going to plug for the Root Note and Corey. And
I mean,
go up if you can in La Crosse.
It's a cultural center of downtown La Crosse, and I would love for something like that to stay open there. And then we both sort of made our way here to Minneapolis. And I kind of want to start off with what was, before we kind of go backwards to your origins with photography and web design, what was the factor that brought you here to Minneapolis besides, so like the creative, like factor that sort of brought you here?
What about works for you? That what? So part of why I had been living between Phoenix and DC the last probably 3 or 4 years prior to when I moved here. I ended up moving to Minneapolis November of 2020. Part of that move was at the time COVID, you know, was raging, and I had a lot of wedding work, a ton of contracts back in the Midwest. And so I was getting really stressed out with having to fly back and forth from Phoenix, you know, and this was the time before there were vaccinations. We still didn't know as much. And at the time I had a partner that lived, I was doing a long distance relationship with someone that lived in Minneapolis. And so that combined with like the ease of not having to fly and being able to drive to all of my contracts made sense. So originally that's how I ended up in Minneapolis, but I've been familiar with Minneapolis for a long time, especially living in La Crosse for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
The artistic link between La Crosse and the cities is very strong, especially in the music scene, the art scene, between La Crosse, the cities together, and then Eau Claire. It's kind of this triangle of creativity. And so I was very familiar with the cities. I just had never lived here.
Right. And I feel like when we were both still living back in La Crosse, I remember when you first got your camera, or at least really made the decision, I was going to get this camera and I just kind of want to take pictures. When specifically did you decide, okay, I'm going to make photography a part of my life in some way, shape, or form?
So that would have been probably 2014 was the first time that I consciously picked up a camera. So after my father passed away in 2010, I promised myself, you know, life is short. I need to make sure I'm still learning and challenging myself. And so every year I try to pick up something new that I don't know how to do and I learn it. So for example, one year, like last year, it was getting my motorcycle license and learning how to ride.
Check out Dolly's Instagram. I'm gonna link it. There's some hot pictures of you with that motorcycle.
I love my motorcycle so much. It's so cool. Or like another year, I used to be so bad at running. I mean, I'm still not great at it, but actually 10 years ago, my goal that year was to run a half marathon. And at the time I could barely even run a mile. So then, you know, training and being able to do that, that was something I wanted to learn how to do. And then in 2014, what I wanted to learn how to do was how to shoot a camera. And I mean, I was familiar with cameras in the sense of, you know, in the 90s, we had like the really long, weird, like brick shape cameras, the flash cameras, or like disposables that you would, you know, use in middle school and then drop it off at Walmart and they'd be developed in a week.
The Vivid, you know, 24 millimeters.
yes. You know, that's the whole like grind and click. Yep. So I was familiar, and I'd always been artistic. I feel like I had always had an eye. I just had never learned, you know, how to use a camera. And so up until 2014, I had just been using my shitty Samsung and really without knowing it had been learning composition and how to use natural light, right? Because those are some of the basics of how do you take a good picture. You could have the best equipment, but if you aren't placing your subjects or whatever in like the right spot in your frame, or if the light is shit, it doesn't even matter. So without knowing it, I had been kind of practicing that with my smartphone. Then I had a roommate. I was living in Chippewa Falls at the time with our mutual friends, Casey and Caleb Brown.
Yeah.
The Browns. Yep. And Caleb was a journalist at a very small, the newspaper in Chippewa Falls, which is a very small town, home of Line and Kugels, but you know, they have a very small hometown paper. And so at his job, not only was he the writer, but he was also the photographer. So on days that he wasn't using his camera, I was watching YouTube videos religiously and hitting up my friends that didn't know how to use cameras and making them go out with me and practice. And when I was learning how to shoot manual, so that's when you control ISO, shutter speed, and oh my gosh, why is my brain blanking? The setting on your lens. Ah, that's so funny. I'm a photographer. I like I'm not even thinking of it right now, but their settings. And I had no idea what they all meant individually, or like, how do they play into each other, you know, together. Yeah. And so I would take the same picture. Like, let's say I was taking a picture of my foot over and over, and I would just manipulate, you know, the ISO up and down to be like, okay, that's what that does when my shutter speed is at this. And then my aperture, word I was thinking of, and then my aperture on my lens is this. It was like all of these things, right? And so then I just kept the camera on me as much as I could, but then I ended up moving back to La Crosse for a job opportunity. I didn't have a camera anymore, but then my boss, my new job, had a camera that he wasn't using. And so he allowed me just hang on to it and take pictures for our company. So it was a hardwood lumber business. And so I would go with the sales guys when they would go to, you know, one of our locations and actually photograph lumber or like people in action. And then I would go to coffee shops with it, or I would just ask my friends like, hey, can I take pictures of you? So I, in a weird way, just kind of built up my skills just by fucking around. And then people, and with the advent of social media, and I'm taking all these pictures and I'm giving these pictures to people, started, you know, posting it on Facebook and Instagram and tagging me. And so then while I'm working this new job, that's this office job that, you know, I love everybody at the company, but obviously it was not a great fit for me. I was building up this reputation really without purposely trying in the photography community. And so it went from people, or me going to people and saying, hey, can I take your picture? Oh, I'm being the shy little wallflower, to people DMing me, sliding in my DMs, you know, and word of mouth saying, hey, I would like to hire you for a shoot. So then came this tipping point. It's like a year or so later, I had just turned 30. I'm realizing, oh my gosh, like, this job is not for me. I don't like the direction my life is going. This, you know, like, what is life about? Almost like early onset middle age ennui, you know, like, what's it all mean? But I realized that I felt the most myself when I had a camera in my hand and when I was interacting with people in that space. So I am a daredevil. I've also gone through a lot in my life. I've been very broke. I've had many traumatic things happen. And so that has built up a resiliency in me. So the decision I came to was, okay, I can either stay with this job, or what if I leave? Like, what if I actually tried to pursue this photography thing? You know, I'm not scared of being broke. Been there, done that. I'm not scared of figuring out where to live. Been there, done that. You know, like, I've been homeless in the past. I have struggled with housing, you know, all of these things that would be things that people would be scared of. In my short life at the time, I had already experienced and was like, you know what? I would rather eat ramen, worry about housing, but like, do it on my terms instead of showing up every day and feeling like, what am I doing? At least I would have control over that chapter in my life. So I ended up quitting my job at this place. And I remember, through people, you know, but I don't think I should mention their name, but I went to a bar with them and I made the announcement to them, and I was really nervous, but I was really excited. You know, hey, I am actually quitting my job and I'm going to start a photography business. And I looked at them, and both of them had, I don't know, cocktails in their face, or not in their face, in their hands. And then their faces, just exactly what you did, just went like,
and I do know who you're talking about, and I can picture the faces.
Yes.
In my head. Yes.
Are you sure? It wasn't like a sense of excitement, or it was, but then that was my first lesson in adulthood after 30 of people project their own fears onto you. Mm-hmm. So like, but I didn't know that back then. I used to think, well, if someone's like nervous for me, so in that example, if they're nervous, wait, I should be nervous too, right? The reality is I wasn't. I knew what I was doing, but I didn't necessarily super trust myself yet. But yeah, so they wouldn't be able to do it, but I was able to do it. So I ended up facing a lot of that, and learning a lot about myself and other people through the beginning stages and even now. But yeah, and then when I told my mom, she also cried. Not happy tears. She was real sad.
Yeah.
She immigrated here from the Philippines back in the 80s. And so I grew up very much with this the immigrant mentality of, okay, hey, I didn't live in the third world country and move to the US for you to be poor. You either get to be a doctor, a lawyer, or, you know, a business person. And I'd chosen a business person. I have a MBA. I also have a degree in marketing, emphasis in international business. I have the degrees and I did what I was supposed to do, but it just wasn't making me happy. But for many people, all they could see was like, what about your paycheck? What about all these things? And, you know, I'm going to fast forward on you, but the money that they thought was so great that I was making at this job that was not a great fit for me. I make like 6 times more than that now. And that, I mean, I got to this point by taking a chance, but I would not have gotten to this point had I not gone through all of those things in my life that kind of built up this resiliency and, I guess, fearlessness. Because once you face a fear once, it's not so scary the next time.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I've noticed about your digital web design sort of shift is that you're like, yes, like I'm teaching classes and I need to make sure that like I'm being compensated for the work that I'm doing. But at the same time, I'm here to help you figure out what goals you have and like move them forward. I'm not here to like recite the exact same bullshit every single time. Like 3 talking points, take your money and run. Right?
Yeah.
Not that. That's not what you're trying to do here. You're trying to make sure that people like have a leg to stand on. Like take your life experience and like pay it forward a little bit.
Absolutely. I 100% feel that way. I think that, you know, I've always seen photography or any job or career we choose to do. The purpose isn't to have a job, right? Like when we pop out of the womb, you know, we are born and we exist not to be in an office. Like that's not the point. Our jobs are a vehicle that help us get to the different destinations in our lives, right? And so that's how I've always seen photography. And I never, like my goal in life is not to be a photographer, but what are the things photography can bring me? And so not only has it brought me, for me, like freedom of schedule, the ability to really connect with people on an intimate level, because if you've ever had your professional photo taken and the way that I take it, it takes a lot of trust and you have to feel safe with someone. So, and that's very satisfying to me on like a life level, right? I like to really connect with people. So photography allows me to do that. And so there's other ways though that I can do that, other vehicles, right? So maybe I'm kind of changing my lease. Maybe it's not just doing photography. Maybe it's teaching people, right? So then the vehicle of teaching still allows me to be intimate with people, still allows me to control my schedule, still allows me to like help people find their own little wingies. You know, at many times the things that we feel like we have lacked in our lives that we eventually gain, those are the things that we want to help other people with, right? Because we can see it in their lives and we can offer them a route out or a different way. And then they can take that minute to whatever makes sense for them. And for me, that's satisfying on a life level too. Like at the end of the day, if I were to die tomorrow, you know, and people, you gave me the last interview of like, what are the things you really accomplished in your life? I don't want it to be that, oh, you know what? I never took a day of PTO. I filed those files in such a beautiful filing way. For me, that's not satisfying. Now, if that is satisfying for you, that's great. But for me, it's not. And so, but being able to recognize those things, you also have to know who you are, right? Because if you don't know who you are, it is very easy to do the prescribed route of life, right? Which, you know, for me, the prescribed route that many people wanted for me and many of my colleagues our friends growing up had was you go to school, do well in high school, don't get pregnant, go to college, get your degree, and get a job that allows you to pay off your student loans. In the process, you meet a partner if you didn't meet them in high school, and then you get married, then you have a kid, and then you might be living in an apartment, and then you end up buying a house, and it may or may not have a picket fence with a golden retriever running around in it, and you show up at your high school reunion, and then you buy, you know, the best, you know, Ford or Chevy car for your husband, and then you might drive like some kind of SUV, and then you have an MLM. Like, that's not bad. I say that in such a tone. It's not bad, but I say it with a weird tone because for me, I kind of tried that and it just felt bad. So if you're living your life in such a way and you're like, ugh, you know, that's how you feel, maybe you need to relook at, okay, if I don't like this, then what do I like? But you don't know what you like until you know yourself. But it's through instances of knowing what you don't like. Those are the kind of direction points that can take you places. But then what you have to face is like, well, am I, I don't want to use the word fearless, but am I strong enough to follow that direction, right? Because humans, we have herd mentality. We want to do what everybody else is doing. We want to be accepted. We all want to look like the Kardashians. Well, not everybody, but I mean, I even kind of do, you know, there's this, within us, it is not instilled to trust ourselves to know what's good for us. So we take all of these cultural and societal markers to let us know how good of a job we're doing. When we go to school, the teacher says, you were good. You got 5 stars. Would you feel like shit if you didn't get a star or a sticker? Yes. Yeah. Your grades. whether, you know, when you go for job applications, oh, you're a great person and we hired you. Well, what do you do if you don't get hired? You feel like shit. So there's all these things that tell us outside of us that tell us, you know, how well you're doing and who you are, but like, what if that's not the test you're supposed to be taking?
Right. Well, and it's really tough because like we've seen this time after time after time again. Like, no one ever wants to discount the amount of work that somebody does because you're working for things, you're doing things, you are making it happen. Sometimes the pieces also have to fall into place, right? The way that they need to. And for some people that just doesn't happen. But those people still deserve to have something. Everybody deserves to have something that they feel like brings them joy, brings them light, brings them, you know, beauty. So even if you, like, we worked at coffee shops and we worked in restaurants for years. If that is the life that you're currently living, like, I see absolutely no problem with that. And if I had to go back to a restaurant, I know, like, 3 that I would apply to, right? Like, right away that I could function at.
There's integrity in paying your bills.
Exactly.
And surviving. There's
integrity in all of that. But also having something that is like not immediately swept up in the tractor beam of like societal expectations and capitalism and all these other things. Like you can help people reach those dreams by just encouraging, like having something that is an outlet that doesn't immediately have to make you rich, that doesn't have to make you successful in the way that society has told us. Success is one thing or nothing. Right.
Right. And all of that is based off of knowing who you are and kind of understanding what is good for you. Mm-hmm. And I think something else that's important too, if you have an idea in your head of what you would like to be, that you might have an end goal in mind of what it could look like, but there also has to be some level of flexibility.
Yeah.
Meaning that you have to, it's a balance between knowing where you want to go and getting there, but you have to be flexible about the timing, about the route specifically, because in your head, if you have, well, I'm going to make $1 million because I'm going to be an Instagram influencer. And by tomorrow I'm going to have like 2 million followers that overnight will magically be so in love with me that they're going to give me all this money. I'm not saying that couldn't happen, but if you're so dead set on that's the way it has to happen, that's how people's dreams get dashed. So you kind of have to hang in there with like, here's my end goal, but like I'm flexible in the ways that I need to pivot or to be flexible to get there.
Right. And that kind of leads me into my next question. That first question actually kind of became two or three questions all at the same time. Sort of like, what are some things that helped you like continue going on when it was really tough? Because we don't have to get deep into it, but I know some of the ways in which life continued to throw like shit at both of us. So like, I know that like you gotta find ways to make it work as you go along. So you kind of answered that question, and we sort of answer the question of like, what are some things that you would tell people like they kind of want to make this happen? How do we go there? We kind of answered that, and that sort of leads me into my next question. When you first came here to Minneapolis, and it's COVID times, you're kind of feeling like it's isolated. You moved here right before winter, and anybody who's ever been to the upper Midwest knows that during winter, even before the pandemic started, hibernation mode kicks in. It's cold, it's hard to travel around, so you're probably feeling a little isolated, a little like, I wish I could go out and do things. When you were in Phoenix, it was warm, at the very least. And so you're making some of these shifts and like, okay, here's how my career has been going. Here's how my life has been going. My passions have been working. You're making these shifts. What was sort of the moment where, or a moment, I don't think that anything is a single thing, but what was sort of a thing that happened during that time period that led you to, okay, where am I going next? Where am I pivoting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when I got here, when I moved here in November of 2020, it was a really weird time to move to Minneapolis. Obviously, like 2020 was just a shit show in general, but to move here, it's really cold and everything had just shut down. Mm-hmm. Everything had shut down. You couldn't really even go to the grocery store. I ended up like getting shipped an Instacart for the first time to have things delivered to me so I wouldn't, you know, go. I mean, you can go anywhere. And then I also, when I moved here, and we don't have to go into this very deeply, but the person I'd been dating ended up ghosting me. And we had dated for a while and he just disappeared. So then I was stuck in this apartment in a city where like I knew people, but like I had just gotten there. Everything shut down. COVID is real. It is rampant. There are no vaccines. And I just had a lot of downtime by myself with my cat, Virgil. And so it was really during that winter that I just was in the throes of it. I was in some very dark places and I was left to my own devices. What I will say is that it challenged me to really think about, okay, I've been in these spots before, maybe not the specific spot, but where I've been sad and I've been lost. And it just proved to me that the only person that will ever really be consistent in your life is you. You know, so if I can't count on this guy that I really cared about being consistent for me, how am I going to be consistent for myself? And what do I want that to look like? And after this heartbreak, you know, when you're broken, when you put the pieces together, and it's yourself, you can put the pieces together in any way that you think they fit. So feeling so broken, it was a moment to think about, okay, well, how do I like my life? Do I like it the same? Maybe I want to try something different. And so during that time, I had realized that I really still loved photography, but I really didn't love shooting really large weddings anymore. It wasn't bringing me joy. It was, if anything, I felt like it was kind of stifling my art. And so I had the time to really think about that and have the time to plan like, well, what's my escape route going to be? My real escape route. And how am I going to compensate for that financially? And how, you know, if I don't build up my elopements? And then that's when I was kind of toying with this idea of web design and also the nomadic element of it, because I had been somewhat nomadic with photography, but my issue was this is a good problem to have. I was so busy and booked for so many weekends that being a nomad, I could only do for part of the year when it was like crappy weather, right? Because a lot of the work I was doing was back in the Midwest, but then I'd always have to come back here and show up. And then, you know, in my mind, I'm like, I've always wanted to just live somewhere and like live it on my timeline and work remotely, but photography, it's like you can only do that part of the time, then you got to come back. So what is a job One of the goals of my life is I would like to live nomadically, be a digital nomad, I think is what they call it. And photography full-time doesn't help me achieve that. That vehicle doesn't help me drive to that specific spot on my life journey. What vehicle can? And that's when I decided, like, I have the skill set with web design. I have this degree. Why don't I do this? So, and my degree is actually a certification from George Washington University. But then it's like, I just need internet. You know, I don't have to physically show up. And so that's when I decided to get more real about, like, how do I start this as a business? Because when you're a small business owner, you know this, we've talked about this, you are bootstrapping. So one of the things that I had bootstrapped was, how do you build a website? And I had been using, like, Squarespace, or I think once I'd used Wix, I think Zenfolio, if you're familiar with that, had a website at one point that you could kind of piddle together. But that's how I came to that conclusion. I was really broken. I put myself back together. I reassessed what I wanted or things I wanted to achieve in my life. Digital nomad life was something I'd like to have. Photography, the way I was doing it, wasn't fitting it. Web design could. So that's why I added that in.
Yeah. And I think what I like the most about the ways in which you talk about your particular journey is that it's really focused on, like, okay, I had to assess for myself, because it's not going to be the same for everybody. Nothing is going to be the same for every individual person. And if you come to it from a place of, like, I take this tack with lessons the best I can. With the youngest of the young, sure, it's a little bit more prescribed. Here's kind of how I'm going to teach you how to play piano. Here's kind of how I'm going to teach you about your voice. Here is the method. But once you get to a certain point, you kind of start thinking, okay, what are the goals? What do you want to get out of this? What do you need? Where do you want to go with this? Because again, it doesn't have to be you're going to be Renee Fleming at the Met, right? It doesn't have to be you're going to be the piano aficionado playing large gigs. Because honestly, music's going to be a part of your life in a much more passive way for most people, right? Most people taking piano lessons as a kid or in their teen years or even as a young adult, they're not planning on being a professional musician in that particular capacity. And I think for a lot of clients that you're working with, they want to have that as a professional vehicle in some way, shape, or form, but maybe don't want the exact goals as you. So how do you tailor the way that you kind of work with people to find that here's where your goals are, and here's how we can help you achieve them in some way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I basically ask anybody I work with, whether it's someone I'm designing a website for, whether it's a client that I'm actually taking their photo, or it's another aspiring photographer that wants to up-level their business. The question I always start out with is the same, is what do you want out of this? And it blows my mind the amount of people that don't think about that, or maybe don't think about it is not the right wording, but that no one asks them, what do you really want? Because many times people get stuck in making sure that the people around them have what they want, especially if you have kids, right?
Yeah.
We don't have time to ask for themselves. So normally when people have time with me, that's really time for themselves, right? And so my goal is I create a safe space for people to explore that. And how we start the exploration is through questions. So it'll be things like, how would you like to be photographed? How do you want to feel in these pictures? Like, what do you want people to know? Or if it's a photographer, like, what brings you joy when you photograph it? What don't you like to photograph? If it's someone in a website, like, what are the emotions you want people to feel when they, like, click on your page? You know, what do you want them, what are the priorities for them that you want them to know about you? And then a lot of that, these questions all stem to this mega question with, who are you? Because you can't answer those questions if you don't know who you are. And so sometimes, like, people can't even answer them right away. So that might take a couple sessions. Or with a lot of people that I photograph, there's a lot of prep work that goes into communicating with them before we actually shoot. Very rarely is it, oh, okay, we'll meet you this day, and then that's it. I'm right. Talking to them, we FaceTime usually, there's texting, there's questionnaires, so at least get them to think about it. Because what's the point of doing something if it's not really gonna benefit you in some way?
Right. And I mean, and again, benefit is a really interesting word there because benefit doesn't always mean what we've been taught for it to mean, money, right? How is this going to make you rich? Like, no, benefits come in a lot of different ways, a lot of different shapes and form. And I think one of the things we've talked about, because spoiler alert, Dolly has photographed me a lot of times, several times in that line of like, hey, can I just take your picture? I got a new toy, and I really want to learn how to use it. And we've had a couple of photo shoots that way where, like, I'm super not comfortable in front of the camera in a lot of ways. Like, it's weird. Like, I am when I'm the one in charge of like how the camera's going to be set up. But when I'm working with another person, I get very self-conscious about the way that the camera's going to like pick me up, like angles, blah, blah, blah. And what's interesting about working with you is that your whole thing is, well, let's just try it this way and just kind of see what you think of that. And kind of like pushing people to try things a little outside of what they consider like comfortable or normal without having to, again, like jump out this window and I'll get you, like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be something crazy. It doesn't have to be anything like, although you did ask if I wanted to lean backwards off that banister on the third story of that lacrosse parking garage. And I was like, I'll lean this far. That's as far as I'm
Yeah, that's
gonna lean.
right.
I will lean this far. But that sort of leads me to your a lot of your work is sort of one-on-one, right? Or like one-on-two. It's very intimate type of spaces. What are your feelings on the like community-driven idea of collaboration within the artistic field? Because I think we can get really wrapped up in individual ideas because a lot of times it is a lot of one-on-one time, but artistic expression is often more collaborative and more community driven than that. I'm curious to know, what are your thoughts on that? What do you how do you feel about collaboration as an entity and sort of how that drives community and change within a community?
Right. Well, I will say, the even though I don't shoot traditional weddings anymore, what I'm gonna say is gonna lump in anybody that works with couples, like elopements, engagements, anniversaries, wedding, whatever. I'm gonna call it the wedding industry. So if you're a photographer that specializes in the wedding industry, I would say there is very little collaboration. Some people might fight me on that one. Within that industry, it's kind of cutthroat. If you are an artist who's not maybe in someone else's or like in my like area where people might tend to book me from, I feel like it's different because there's not a threat there. But I would say that collaboration in that like sector is not great. They would never say that on Instagram because they might want that to appear that way, so they follow each other and like each other's work. But I've been to enough shootouts that so that's where like maybe someone sets up like some models and you show up, and it's kind of like passive aggressive. Or I've been to enough workshops or taught enough that that's there's like a level of competition, which in my mind doesn't even make sense. And then like sometimes when people are entering that realm, so a lot of my students that like want to get into that industry, they feel like, oh, but like I don't want to compete. But the thing is, how many people every motherfucking day are getting engaged, falling in love, having a wedding, having an elopement, blah, 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 blah? The answer is a lot. It's a lot. And it's not like this select handful of photographers can photograph all these people. That's
No,
impossible. There's room
no.
for everybody. And everybody is so different, right? Like how they approach, how they shoot. Yeah, maybe y'all use the same orange tone preset, but your experience of you is going to be completely different. So, in collaboration amongst wedding photographers, there's some. But I wouldn't say it's like a big trend. I would say there's more competition than anything.
Sure.
Now, I've kind of shifted how I operate, right? So like, for example, in the city of Minneapolis, I am one of the artists for It's the People public arts campaign. And so amongst other artists, other photographers in that realm, I have felt nothing but collaboration. And so Awa Mali, she's like one of the other photographers, love her. You know, I enjoy talking to or some of the other photographers too, and actually other photographers I've met who do a mix of like commercial and editorial, and it's been nothing but collaboration and people being interested and asking me to go check out their studio. And so really, like, to answer your question full circle, I'm really just starting to understand what collaboration could be, because now that I'm not full time, full force in the wedding photography industry, people are a lot more chill and a lot less weirdly competitive.
And I think what's really cool about having you and so many other people from different areas of that particular area of the arts world, photography, and how big of a like, for lack of a word, a bit of canvas that spreads across, art is a huge driver for social and political change. And I know you have very deeply held and are not afraid to share your very deeply held, like, political and social beliefs on your social media. You don't shy away from that. You're not afraid of being like, this I can stand behind. This is bullshit. I want to burn this to the ground, right? Like, you're not super afraid of that in a lot
That's
of ways.
An example of using photography as a vehicle, right? Mm-hmm. So one of my things that I know about myself is I am that person. I want to stand up for what I believe in. I believe in truth. I believe in honesty. I believe in fairness. And so during the pandemic, before I moved to Minneapolis, I was quarantined, I guess, staying in Phoenix at the time. And I just felt stifled, like, well, if I can't work, how can I contribute? I'm not a soldier. I'm not, what can I do with the gifts that I have and the vehicle I have? How can I drive that to, like, help? How do I do that? And so I decided, well, I have a camera. And at the time there was the huge conversations of, like, fake news, fake news. But I thought to myself, well, even in my circle of people that know me and trust me, if I'm on the ground and I'm sharing pictures of what I'm seeing, you know, it's a lot harder to trust bigger news outlets that seem to have an agenda, right? Like CNN, Fox, MSNBC, whoever. It's hard to trust them because you don't know them. They're not in your concentric circle of, like, people you know. But people know me, you know, and if they don't believe me, then they must not know me. It's kind of like my thought. So I said, okay, well, what if I show up with my camera and show people what I'm seeing so they actually know? And then I connected with some other photographers when I'd show up at protests, you know, and document and post pictures. And then we ended up coming up with the Phoenix Photographers Collective. And so it was a bunch of Phoenix photographers and videographers that weren't working a lot because of the pandemic. And just felt the same way I did. And at the time also, there was a lot of shit happening in Phoenix, but we weren't getting quite as much coverage because we weren't Minneapolis, because we weren't DC. But I consider myself a Phoenician. We also have a really huge issue with police violence. I mean, it's the, or police brutality. It's the legacy of Joe Arpaio. If you don't know him, look him up, because he's a complete asshole.
Walk and dumpster.
Walk and dumpster. And so I actually continued that when I moved to Minneapolis, showing up at protests. And that's also another way of how I kind of got connected with the artistic community in Minneapolis. But it wasn't, you know, the fluffy frills wedding industry. It was like people that were just out there trying to do the same thing I was.
Yep.
So a different industry feels a lot better.
Yeah. And I guess that does lead me into my next question, because I feel like you've done a really nice job of talking about, like, how different areas have been different in terms of how you've interacted with the photography community and the arts community. If you had a message to the creative industry, the makers, the people following their passions here in Minneapolis or in the greater Twin Cities area or the upper Midwest, what would be sort of like the thing that you would want them to know, or maybe what you'd want to see change?
Oh my God, do what you want. That is such a loaded answer, and I understand that. But I think specifically in the wedding photography industry, I see so many people that the work that they create Did you shoot that? Absolutely. But it's based off of like, oh, well, I had my clients create a Pinterest page and then I photographed them exactly the way that this picture that someone else did. And then I used a very similar preset to achieve like a specific tone and look. I think it depends on where are you driving your vehicle and like what do you want out of that experience? I think, and I would guess that it's far more satisfying to create something that is approved by you, that is from the wells of your creative being, than it is to be like, well, I'm just gonna buy this preset and just make money. You can make money 5 million other ways. And just because you do what someone else is doing doesn't mean you're gonna make the same kind of money they're doing. Ding, 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 ding. I think that mostly people will pay for a really great experience. So even if I don't think I'm the best photographer in the world. I know that there's probably a lot of technical things that are kind of bullshit about what I do. And you know, maybe like, I don't always edit, I don't know. But at the end of the day, when I produce something for someone, 100% of the time I feel good about it. And then people just remember the experience with me. Like the photograph I took of you, obviously I'm documenting something, but I'm also documenting a moment. Cause when you look at that picture, you're like, oh yeah, I felt really great that day. Or like, oh, I remember like we kind of laughed because Dolly asked me to like bend over that fence post or, you know, the railing and I almost fell off. I didn't. right. And I would rather them remember the experience and have it be a really positive one, because I know from my own experience too, and other hearing stories from other people, like if you use a photograph as like a memory marker, if you didn't have a great experience, you'd be like, yeah, I mean, the picture is great, but like the photographer is kind of weird and she's kind of mean. And you know, so it's, the picture is more than just like an image. It's also like a memory trigger of an experience, right? Like, I feel like that when I look at pictures of my grandma and my dad who have, you know, since passed, mm-hmm. I just remember that moment with them. I remember, like there's a picture of all three of us together and it was my fourth birthday and we had like some like marble bar that my grandma made and I was actually messing around with like a really old camera that didn't work anymore and I, you know, just remember them and I remember smells all from looking at a picture. So then creatively, you know, don't just think about like what's the end product you're giving someone, but like what's the experience of working with you to get that end product. Think about that. That's something that is really hard to replicate. You could go to a ton of different workshops. You could buy as many presets as you want. You could have people create a Pinterest board and you can try to emulate the end result, but that doesn't affect the experience with you.
Right.
Right. And then knowing what kind of experience you want people to have with you, you need to know who you are and what you bring to the table for yourself, but also can bring to the table for them.
Which I think that that's the backbone of, I think, the message that you're trying to send here is like, find the things that make you feel like yourself in the most authentic and like deeply held ways. And that takes a while to figure out sometimes. You're not going to know it right away. It takes time to figure that out. And that's okay. That's a part of the journey and the process. And I'm super excited to kind of see where you head off from here. Cause I know that Minneapolis won't be your final stop. It was never meant to be that. And you're going to continue on. And I'm excited to see where that takes you. But before we're done, We've got a couple of rapid fire questions here. Oh. So I'm just gonna rattle some things off to you, mostly either or style questions. You just jump in with whatever answer feels most right as quickly as you can. So
great.
Let's start off with something really benign. Netflix or YouTube?
Netflix.
Uh-huh. Phone call or text?
Phone call.
Uh-huh. See, I had a feeling that was gonna be your answer. Unpopular opinion. But let's see. Instagram or Twitter?
Instagram.
Ice cream cone or snow cone?
Ice cream cone.
Mm.
Like see. That cream life.
Pop music or indie music?
Indie.
Cake, pie, or cookies?
Cookies. I like a good cookie bar.
Ooh, yeah. See, there you go. That's how I know we're both from the Midwest. A good cookie bar.
Oh, yeah. Or Scotcheroo. Oh, God.
Oh, fuck me up with that. Oh, my goodness.
Eggplant emojis all day. Yeah.
Swimming or sunbathing?
Sunbathing. I don't know how to swim.
Oh, let's see. Big parties or small gatherings?
Small gatherings. I get really stressed out in large groups of people. That's kind of why large weddings isn't great for me.
side attractions or roller coasters?
Oh, side attractions. I got vertigo really bad a couple of years ago, and I can't do roller coisters anymore.
No. New clothes or a new phone?
New clothes.
I prefer to change up my look a little more often than the thing that connects me to the misery of the world. I'm right there with you. Yeah. Let's see here. Cheese curds or cheese sauce?
Ideally, I would put a cheese curd in cheese sauce with a little bit of ranch, but I know that's not an option. So I'll say cheese curd.
Gotcha. Let's see. New hair or new makeup?
New hair.
You've gone on quite a hair journey, and I love seeing it every time it changes.
Yes, thank you.
Oh my goodness. And last but not least, spring or fall?
Actually, I really love fall, but it depends on where I'm at. I like a Midwest fall.
There you go. Yeah, I could see that. That's a measured answer.
There's a slight chill in the air. You have a cute sweater, jean situation. You have a warm latte in your hands. The light is beautiful. Yeah.
That lighting being beautiful is especially true. That goldenness. That golden. Yes. You don't have to add that orange light when you've got a good backdrop of that golden sun with the leaves changing.
Well, so. Part of that is because in the Midwest, when you shoot in the spring and in the summer, the type of green that the plants are and the trees are around here, the light, I mean, photographs are based off of light bouncing off shit, right? Like if it bounces off of something, that's how you know it's red. You know, gamma rays or infrared? I don't know, whatever that whole thing. But because everything around here is like a weird yellow green, it's really hard to shoot people in nature if you're not using like off camera lighting, and to have it be like warm and glowing, it ends up being like yellow and putrid. I shouldn't say that.
Jaundice. Oh my goodness. Learning something new every day. We love this. Well, Dolly, it was lovely to talk to you today. Thank you so much for meeting with me. We have to go get coffee sometime in the outside world. Now that it's getting warmer, we can sit outside again.
Yes, which will be absolutely. Lovely.
Tell everybody where they can find you, some things that I can link. Tell it to the world. What have you
got? Okay, well, if you want to learn more about doing photography things with me, whether it's booking a session, or getting some education, I am actually in the middle of recording my first ever online video course. Last year I launched this online but weekly Zoom meeting with people that went really well. It was a 6-week program, but the price point was more just because, you know, I charge more for my time in person. But I thought, well, gosh, if I can record all of this information and like lower the price point, then more people can have access to it, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm in the midst of that, but photography stuff is dollydurley.com. Dolly is dahlidurley.com. Now, if you're interested in web shiz, my web design business is called Vice and Virtue Creative. And so it is viceandvirtuecreative.com.
Love that. I'll make sure those are linked down below. Also, I believe your I'm Dolly Durley at Instagram for your more like slice of life type of things. I could take that out if you don't want people to know what that is.
Oh, no, that's completely fine. Yep, I'm Dolly Durley, letter I, letter M. Not I am, I'm Dolly Durley is photography things, my professional account, and my personal account, which I do have open because I post all sorts of things on there, how I feel, my life. That's going to also have more of like my web stuff on it. And it's Hello Dolly Baby.
There we go. I was going to say, because I know that there's one, I follow both of them and they're interchangeable in my head because they both come across my feed. I'll make sure all of that is linked in the show notes so you can easily access all of that. And if you're listening to this on my website, because I post this on my website and on my SoundCloud, because we are keeping this nice and easily accessible. And also, I don't have another podcast stream, another RSS feed at the moment. You can see some of Dolly's work also in action, because most of the photographs on my website are photos that were taken by Dolly. So you'll get to see how some of that works. And yeah, any last words before we're done?
All I gotta say is life is short. Do what you want. Nothing is promised. And I don't know if y'all have been news junkies, you know, recently, but like this impending World War III, you know, and we've just had quite, the last decade has been crazy. The last 5 years have been crazy. The last 3 years, what the heck, right? I mean, I think that we're just faced with realizing like, what is life about? And then what do we want life to be about? And you know what? That answer is going to be different for everybody. It's going to be different for you than it is for the person next to you. And you only have this one life that we know of. So live it the way you want. Like, you want to live life without regrets. And I'm not saying that you have to go be careless. I think people think that following their dreams means being careless. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, if you don't want to do something, don't do it. If you want to do something and pursue it, God, what's the worst that could happen? You try and it fails this time, but just because it doesn't work out this time doesn't mean it's not going to work out another time. You know, that's kind of what we were talking about earlier. You kind of have to let go of like the process of how it's going to go down, but just keep in mind like your end goal. You have to be able to pivot. You have to be open to change. And like, and then maybe what you want would be different, but all of that's okay. You just have to be okay with trying. There's nothing wrong with trying. God, at the end of it, wouldn't you rather say like, yeah, this is what I wanted and I tried to get it and I didn't like maybe get exactly what I wanted, but God, the journey was great. Versus like, oh yeah, I don't know. I guess I always wanted to, I just didn't do it. Well, why? You can answer that question and then sit with that. That's one thing. But if you answer that question and you're like, oh, that's a really fucked up answer. I didn't try because I was scared. That's not a good enough reason. It's not for anybody. Don't be scared, but still put yourself out there anyway. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, use that fear. And you know what? Use that fear to try new things, like dipping cheese curds into cheese sauce or scotcheroos if you've never tried those before, or cookie bars, because those are, that's where it's at. Midwestern treats right here. Unless you're lactose intolerant like me, I don't know.
Sorry. I'll eat it for you.
Delicious. Thank you. I would appreciate that.